Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It's a minute past the hour, and here we go with more chicanery courtesy of the microphone and or the mixed desk. I don't know which. Kind of hard to tell. Someday we'll have a staff. This is indeed the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. The website is back up and running and happy and healthy. Hallelujah, glory, praise the flying spaghetti monster, or any deity of your choice, or non-choice. But it's Friday on the front porch, after a long and somewhat bizarre week. I wish I knew what was causing this. Oh, well, whatever. The chat room is up and running. You are welcome to wander on by. Head on RadioNetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in and be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the live chat that takes place between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here. Here at the Horn in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Virginia, Stan. More on that in a bit. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, yes, there's a short somewhere, and I don't know where it is. Is it there? Is that it? Or is this weird? Okay, no, I'm not going to mess with it. Everything is marginally working, and I'm just happy to have it that way. It's Friday on the front porch, and, of course, a gentle reminder. This is a listener-supported effort, and I want to thank a handful of folks who have kindly we've had a brutal deficit this week, and thanks to a handful of folks, we've taken a big chunk out of it because this is listener-supported. There are no ads. I joke about the Kroger mentions and things like that, and. But no, there's no money coming in from that. But I want to thank a kind anonymous contributor from the Great Northwest. I want to thank our buddy Horst, as well as John and Paul, Danny, Betsy, and Harold. Thank you, one and all. Because we have taken the rather brutal deficit we had down to only $350. Well, we haven't. You have. You have. So that's what we need to raise this evening to get out of the hole. This evening's 200 plus another 150. So that's the, 10 at 35, 35 at 10. And 35 doesn't divide by 2 very well and doesn't divide by 4. So 35 at 10... 35, I just can't. But we need to raise $350 this evening. The PayPal interface is under the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. And, of course, the mailing address, for those of you who like to use the U.S. Postal Service, who, most of the time they get what they're trying to take to the right place. They manage. The mailing address for checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid, I never see them, is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. If you didn't catch that and you need it, just shoot me an email, send me an email, okay? Yeah. Send an email to me, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. You can also reach me on Twitter, @BobKincaid. If you're part of the Horn Molloy Skype chat group, you can send messages via Skype. You can reach me on Facebook, and not so good at semaphore or listening when you stand outside on the back stoop and scream, because I got headphones on, okay? Friday on the front porch, of course, means that here in fairly short order, we will fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable and you know, go forward with that conversation. Of course, if you've never participated before, well, it's really quite easy to do. All you need do is send a contact request on Skype, which is very easy to use, to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk on Skype. And Sparky, who is the longtime, in addition to being a longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, is also the longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran Horn Molloy Skype chat group moderator. So, yeah, Sparky Dunk on Skype, and he'll throw the breadcrumb trail out for you so you can come over and participate in Friday on the front porch. Which, all things being equal, we will get fired up here in about 52 minutes or so. Okay? Okay. But in the meantime, I've got a few things that I thought would be worth mentioning before we head off to the larger, broader, extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation. A couple of things. I've got some audio for you right off the bat. This was shared with me, and I don't know if I don't know how I feel about the fact that it was. On the one hand, it provided just jaw-dropping, oh my God, fodder. Godfather, see what I did there, huh? Yeah. Jaw-dropping, oh my Godfather for Agnes and me last night as we wound the day down, sort of staring at the telescreen in slack-jawed amazement. I guess I'm grateful for it because it shows us where at least one person, wants to take the rest of this country. Then, of course, there's maybe some mention of the Republican pageant that went on last night on one of those channels that's owned by Rupert Murdoch and his buddy, the prince from that nation of good head loppers with whom we are so fond and whose former president of the United States has kissed right on the mouth eater and walked hand in hand through the bluebells. Yeah. So we can go into that. I didn't have a lot of stomach for it. I watched some of it, and the stupid actually began to ooze out from around the bezel of my computer monitor, like some sort of, I don't know, something out of the Amityville Horror Poltergeist maybe. They're here. Yeah. And a little bit about Cole. And by the way, I think it was Carl who sent this along to me. If you're listening, Carl, could I trouble you to email me that story that featured the quote from Marianne Hitt of the Sierra Club? I would appreciate it if you would send that along. I really, really would. It would be quite helpful because it's buried somewhere in my Facebook on my Facebook wall, and for the life of me, I can't seem to find the damn thing. I thought I had it saved, but I didn't. I screwed up. But before we do any of that, I want to set the Wayback Machine a few years back. Over among over among the right wing white nationalist, white supremacist, a few years back, a pair of sisters came to prominence under the band name Prussian Blue. Mm-hmm. And, well, just as a gentle reminder, this was kind of what it sounded like when they did their song Victory Day.
Do what I have to say.
Okay, so that's enough of that, because it was disgusting then, it's disgusting now, but it's a Nazi anthem about how someday all the white people are going to be free, because here in America, the white people aren't free, because they have to share air with people whose whiteness they debate and challenge and insist on being able to define. Okay, that was then, this is now. But I thought of, because of what happens to one's brain when one does something like this for a lot of years, as this has now become, I thought immediately of them when I, when Agnes and I were viewing the Oh My God fodder. I thought I'd give it to you for a third time just to make sure you got it. This comes from a T-Rump rally in Pensacola, Florida. 2 days ago. So it's fresh. I also thought when I first saw this of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And the Little Wharvie Gals. Who ain't the Little Wharvie Gals? You're the Little McGill Gals. I'm the Potter Familius, damn it. Never mind. It's just one of my favorite films, that's all. I much prefer the Little Wharvie Gals singing in the highways, in the hedges, to what I've got for you in a minute here. But this is what happens when bloodthirsty nationalism becomes a significant force in one's country. I dare say that this is full of overtones of overt fascist nationalism. I don't know who the parents, and remember, we had the story last night from Pete Santilli, who is a scumbucket, who referred to a young woman who merely exercised her First Amendment rights as a prostitute. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to suggest that these children have been abused, because pouring fascist nationalistic poison into the heads of an impressionable child is, well, that's wrong as far as I'm concerned. And these three girls are known as the Freedom Girls, and whoever it was that did this got them done up in red and white stripe. It's kind of a red and white, red and white satin skirts with big red bows and blue satin halter type tops with white stars on it. They're little moving flags, and taught them a song, and they even worked up a little dance routine to go with it. And it has to be heard to be believed. They were the warm-up act for a group of, well, let's see, just what's in the screen here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Let's say 50 white people and one person of color who was placed almost exactly in the center, just over the shoulder, over the right shoulder of where he, T-Rump, would be speaking. Mm-hmm. This is amazing to me. I'm guessing the ages probably run from about maybe 10 to 14, these three little girls. And frankly, I don't hold any of this performance against them. And I certainly will not, as Pete Santilli did of a young woman who dared exercise her First Amendment rights, I will not try to shame them because it's content. And it's about the message and not the messenger. So with that in mind, I offer you the opportunity to get the hockey puck close at hand, if you wish. Or perhaps a handy bucket. Because this is disturbing. This is no less nationalist than anything that the Prussian Blue girls ever did. This is frightening because apparently someone deemed that this was an appropriate thing to do in front of a political rally. Political speech is the most protected speech there is, perhaps alongside religious speech in this country. Marty says, you're a better man than I am, Bob. I would have been out to shame. Marty, I really don't think you would have. These three girls didn't write this tripe. They were put up to it. Just as Pete Santilli last night suggested that the young woman who was actually afraid of the weirdos in Oregon was put up to it. There's no evidence, however, that young Miss Presley in Oregon actually was put up to what she said. There's no evidence to suggest that her thoughts and her ideas were not her own. She had, in fact, just been cheated out of an entire week of education by these patriots. It is hard not to think of these three girls in light of previous fascist youth groups. Trying really hard here. I mean, I don't want to just give it away. But this is fascinating because on the one hand, you've got this synthesizer thing going on, but it is a back reference to the nationalist anthem that was sung in this country and by the Doughboys as they headed over to Europe during the First World War. You know, before they learned to sing Mademoiselle of Armentières, parlez-vous. And somehow I think I'm trying to avoid playing this, but I'm going to have to just get right. Okay, so lash yourselves to the mast. These ain't no little Warby girls. Oh, no. These are the Freedom Girls. Because, see, there's no freedom here in Merca. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Hallelujah. Amen. And what the hell else am I supposed to say there? Asa had something. Oh, well. Hallelujah. Glory. Merca. Because, see, there's no... Nobody's got freedom except T-Rump. And so this is what's happening now by way of trying to whip the crowd into a nationalist frenzy at these rallies. Get ready. Here it comes. That's all I'm going to say.
Cowardice! Are you serious? Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this. When freedom brings, answer the call. On your feet, stand up tall. Freedom's on our shoulders. USA! Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down. From strength or get crushed every time. Over here,
USA!
Over there,
USA!
Freedom and liberty everywhere.
Oh, say, can you see? It's not so easy, but we have to stand up tall and answer freedom's call.
USA,
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 USA.
We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. USA,
USA.
The stars and stripes are flying. Let's celebrate our freedom. Inspire proudly freedom to the world.
Ameritude,
USA.
American pride,
USA.
It's attitude, it's who we are. Stand up tall.
We're the red, white, and blue. Fiercely free, that's who. Our colors don't run, no siree.
Over here,
USA!
Over there,
USA!
Freedom and liberty everywhere,
USA!
Oh, say, can you see? It's not so easy, but we have to stand up tall and answer freedom's call.
Now hear the little Nazis cheer. Absolutely. Did you notice the, I don't know how much of the audio translated. Did you notice the off-time white folks clapping? Just, you know, oh, maybe about a six count past the beat. the angry Indian just says, why, Bob? This hurts my ears and my mind, man. It's like a bad episode of the damn Twilight Zone. 2016 is really 1955. You know who they're appealing to with that crap arse song? Sure. I don't think there are a whole lot of rememberers of World War I in the crowd. This is just pure, unmitigated fascist nationalist propaganda. The world has seen this stuff before. We just haven't seen so much of it in a U.S. context. But it's always been there as a subtext for us. And of course, anybody who criticizes, well, why do you hate America?
The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God, amen. In God we trust. That's what I was supposed to add. In God we trust. Hallelujah.
This was the warm-up for the arrival of the man that for some reason or another, a whole bunch of people with IQs below the average NCAA winning basketball score think is going to save America. Did you notice that? Deal from strength or get crushed. The thing is, though, and I guess I would have to address the author of this tripe, is that advice to the rest of the world, or is that advice to Merca? And if that's going to be our operating philosophy, deal from strength or get crushed every time, well, can't the rest of the world adopt that too? Or is that freedom dependent? Thomas advises me via email, be careful, I was hit by a Trump attack today, first time ever. This election cycle is going to be brutal. I feel literally sick. If it weren't for my audience, it wouldn't have been survivable. These people are fascists after what I went through today for just a half hour. This video with these girls doesn't surprise me. This song, these girls, make me equally sick as what happened today on my show. Again, we must elect Bernie. He's the only candidate and antidote to this bullshit. And it is that. Meanwhile, down in Australia, Robert says, I just threw up in my mouth. Well, I told you, you might want to have the bucket handy. But expect to see more of this. And more, and more. What was that line? Wait a minute, I gotta see if I can find it. Let's see if we can get to it again.
On your feet, stand up tall.
Freedom's on our shoulders.
USA!
Enemies of freedom. Face the music. Come on, boys, take them down.
That was what I was at. Come on, boys, take them down. Who is that addressed to? Is that addressed to the U.S. military? Do the T-rumpers not know that there are women in combat now? Or is this addressed to given the conduct of your average T-rump beer hall putsch like fracas? Is this addressed to the security there at the T-rump rally in case anyone should dare to black in the crowd? It's kind of hard to tell. Come on, boys, take them down. Does this child even know what she's suggesting? Who is it? Did anyone bother to tell these girls who it is they're supposed to be going to war with? Who's going to be taken down? Is it you? Is it me? Is it progressive people? Is it anybody who doesn't get in line and swear undying fealty to he, Trump? I pity these children. I don't know if they're sisters. I don't know anything about them except for the fact that they were put up to this nationalist stunt. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, says, apologizing to the world, I can't take it. But world, I'm sorry. I don't, what must it feel like because America, the United States, and I try to be careful about the difference between America and the United States, because, you know, Canada's America too, so's Mexico, so's Panama, so's Bolivia, so's Paraguay and Uruguay and Peru and Ecuador and Chile and Argentina and Brazil and Venezuela and Guyana. It's all America. I mean, for God's sakes, the island of Guadalupe. Hey, I don't know. Is there an accent? Is there an accent ague over that E? Cuba is America. But anyway, no, the world has its own opinion of the United States. And in many corners of the world, that is a positive opinion. And that's okay. But in the rest of the world, are y'all getting a little nervous? Or are you doing what you did in 2000 and saying, well, now, I mean, I realize that George Bush is running for president, but the American people would never elect an outright idiot like him. And the world in 2000 was right, and we didn't elect him, but he still managed to be appointed president of the United States by a cabal of what does the right wing like to call them, when activist unelected judges. And then the world stood in gobsmacked horror with its collective mouth open catching flies when we sort of reelected him in 2004. I remember the famous newspaper cover from which British paper was it? How can 300 million people be this stupid? But there's this idea that America, the United States, there I go again, that the United States might get a little wobbly on the rails every now and then, but we're sort of self-correcting, and everything will be okay. Newsflash, everything's not okay. Everything's not going to be okay. We're in trouble. Devin, meanwhile, suggests the video tells you exactly what these right-wingers think of young women. They're hyper-sexualized, especially the youngest one. Whoever put this together turned prepubescent girls into sirens. They're sirens, Everett. Another Oh Brother, Where Art Thou reference. Well, I mean, the costumes aren't trashy or anything. But come on, boys, take them down. Oh, God. And, of course, the overarching theme last night, as it is every night when the clown barge pulls into port, is that somehow that one in our White House, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, has made us weak. We're just weak. And of course there were several accusations of weakness last night. Little Marco Rubio said, on the issue of Barack Obama does not believe that America is a great global power. Now, that's kind of odd for a guy who just a couple of nights before in the State of the Union said that the United States has the strongest, most durable economy in the world. Not to mention talking about we've got the biggest, best military in the world. We spend more on the military than the next 8 countries combined. Mm-hmm. But we kind of have to be weak. I mean, because this country can't be strong if it's been led for 7 years by one of those. In China, from China, Steve writes, God bless the little kindern. Creepy little trumpeteers, aren't they? Do they wear designer label uniforms? No, those things actually look like they were stitched on somebody's sewing machine. They really, really do. It's the whole Uncle Sam sort of prepubescent, somewhat sexualized Uncle Sam motif. With the synthesizer music was creepy. The over there theming, deeply disturbing. Devin points out the moves and mannerisms are typical pageant honey boo-boo shit. Poor kids. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if these girls had been in a pageant or three. But it is the overt rank nationalism. It's one thing to be proud to be an American. You know, I mean, we got Lee Greenwood for that. And tomorrow, if they came and took away all my snacks and left me with just my children and my wife, I'd be glad to be American. Yeah. I get that. Yeah, meanwhile, as the angry Indian reminded me, T. Rump booted a New York Times reporter who criticized him. He booted him from his campaign, one of his campaign events in Iowa. Ah, here we go. We have a little background now. Over at Jezebel.com, in their group The Slot, and apparently the Freedom Kids is more than just three little girls, Madeline Davies writes, the dad manager behind Trump's creepy girl group just really loves freedom. For 2 years, Jeff Popick has been managing the USA Freedom Kids, a.k.a. the Freedom Girls, a girl group featuring his own daughter that gained national attention following a robotic jingoistic performance. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Jingoistic. At a recent Donald Trump rally in Pensacola, Florida. You know, they used over there. Next thing I figure, we'll be getting some nice new English lyrics to the Horst Wessel song. Popick tells the Washington Post, I love my daughter. I love spending time with my daughter. I love my country. I love my patriotic music. Most people who set out on this crazy journey would have folded. I considered it a win-win no matter what. They have apparently been referred to, according to this story, as everything from the Hitler Youth. Oh! Yes, it counts, it counts, it counts. God damn it, it counts. 6:37 p.m. Yes, it was in an actual printed story, but yes, it counts. 6:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Damn it, Gerald! They've been referred to as everything from the Hitler Youth to, in the words of this author, a nightmare collection of human cartoons. Herr Popick is a former stunt driver and a current serial entrepreneur. And he said that when someone criticizes his little group of exploited girls, it just shows this country needs more of what we're doing. It was somebody maybe smarter than me who said a child shall lead them. Notice that, and who said that? Who did? Who said that? And a little child shall lead them. Ah, there it is. There it is. Yep. That's Isaiah 11:6 from the Bronze Age Levant. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Somebody may be smarter than me, said Mr. Popick. So whoever the author of Isaiah was, wait a minute, these fundies think that was actually God writing that stuff. I would suggest that. Devin says, you know, next time I'm going to have Gerald pick my Powerball numbers. Too late now. It's back down to 40 million. Why bother? I mean, what could you do with 40 million bucks? For God's sakes, Devin, have a little dignity, man. So it was somebody maybe smarter than me, Almighty God, who said a child shall lead them. Asked about the birth of, this is from the Washington Post, author Justin William Moyer. Asked about the birth of USA Freedom Kids, Popick said the group coalesced over the past 2 years, and the current lineup started performing in earnest about 6 months ago. Building up momentum wasn't easy. Well, no kidding, you heard it. When you're dealing with kids, there are all kinds of issues. There are family issues. Parents have agendas. There's soccer and on, on, on. This really required a meaningful commitment. We went through several girls. Notice that girls are simply products, in Mr. Popick's mind, to be gone through. There's two girls are really strictly in the studio, five dancers and vocal coaches, music producers, music engineers, and choreographers, none of whom are apparently worth a tinker's damn. And but he does say they are compensated. They're paid in Bratz dolls. And yes, he does identify as a T-Rump supporter. He tried to get some other candidates to let the little swervy girl, I mean, the Freedom Girls, on, but nobody took him up on it until he offered them to T-Rump. With some candidates, I could not get on first base. The Trump campaign stepped up. It confirmed that he knows what he's doing. You can absolutely take that as an endorsement. Huh. Goddess of Irony seems to have been busy in this interview. Couldn't get to first base. Now, oddly enough, that is not something one usually hears in terms of pitching talent or anything. That's usually a reference to what goes on in the back seat of a 57 Ford, or did once upon a time. Dear Jesus. Yeah, by the way, you'll note the scripture did not talk about the lion eating the lamb and then then the little children. No. So, don't be surprised if they're probably angling for a convention gig. And don't be surprised if you see the little freedomy girls more and more as the campaign progresses, because they kind of flat the singing and they don't clap real good and the dance routines ain't so much, but it's pretty clear that they love Merca.
The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Amen. Hallelujah. In God we trust.
There. I've got it down until somebody else adds another phrase. This is turning into a game, you people. So, that's a start. That's a start. It's by no means an end. You know, we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks talking about these bizarre freaks in Oregon. There's a member of the House of Representatives for whom I have significant respect. He was an early supporter of the AIC Act, and that got my respect. Pete DeFazio is a member of the House of Representatives from Oregon. He is a progressive of sorts. He comes from Eugene. And while everybody else has just tried to pretend that the right-wing neo-fascist freaks in Oregon aren't there, whatever. And in point of fact, as the Angry Indian points out to me, Chris Zinda, writing over at Counterpunch, subject line, FBI to Mal-Ur militia, you're free to travel. You are now free to move about the country. Um, He writes, I met Lavoy Finicum in Cedar City, Utah yesterday, January 13th, when I thought he was in Oregon engaged in an armed occupation of a federal facility at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Listening to the radio on the way to pick up my kids from school, and there he is, Lavoy, the public information officer of the Malheur standoff, on a local afternoon conservative talk radio show. I did a double take listen to hear where the interview was taking place. Sure enough, it was in studio in Cedar City and not Finicum from the Malheur. Jeepers, I've been investigating and writing about Lavoy foreshadowing. I've heard him on the same station before, but this time it's different. I've referred to Lavoy as a seditionist and a terrorist, while also empathizing with him, but the fact of the matter is, they're coming and going as they please. Up there. As noted in the Pete Santilli audio yesterday, they're going to have a goddamn barbecue. Isn't that sweet? Doesn't that just make you so happy? Now, there has, Carol Baker tells me, there has been one arrest out there, one of the Patriots. Apparently, the federal government left its vehicles out there, too, and why not? And the Patriots decided to use that. One of them decided to go down to the Rippy Mart for maybe some gas station pizza in the government vehicle and got picked up for that. Then there was the photograph that Sparky sent along to me of the idiots fixing to climb up a telephone pole and tear down at what looks to be a camera that's probably put there for observing, you know, birds. It is a bird sanctuary, but it's a government camera that they're using to spy on us and to steal our freedoms. So we can add that to the list. But for the most part, nothing, 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 nothing all day long. How do you like my nothing song? Nothing is being done about these seditious twits in the hopes that they'll get tired of playing Patriot, and eventually they'll run out of money, or their wives will get tired of supporting their dead, non-working, lazy asses. And they'll just have to leave, and there will be no consequences for them anymore than there were consequences for any of the seditious bastards who created the Clive and Bundy mess. Well, all of this is not okay with Pete DeFazio. And he took to the floor of the House of Representatives. And he delivered a little wake-up call.
The heater on at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, illegally occupied by ultra-right-wing anti-government extremists. But you got to wonder if the lights are on or anybody's home down there at the Justice Department. Hello? I don't think there's anybody there. I believe that this illegal occupation, this destruction of federal property, was directly emboldened by the fact that their father of the two leaders, Cliven Bundy, stood down the government 2 years ago when he owed $1 million. Other ranchers pay their grazing fees. He refuses to do it. And he was grazing in areas that were prohibited. And he stood down the government at the point of a gun. And he's still illegally grazing. And nobody at the Justice Department has seen fit to lift a finger against him. There's no ongoing prosecution. They haven't put a lien on his cattle. And he celebrated the anniversary of the takeover and said, this is how it's done. And now his sons are replicating that in my state of Oregon, where we abide by the laws. Yeah, we disagree over a lot of federal policies, but we abide by the laws. It's time for the Justice Department to take some action. Wake up down there.
The gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman from Louisiana, for what purpose do you...
Never mind whatever purpose the gentleman from Louisiana rises. He doesn't have anything to say. He's a teabagger, almost guaranteed. But really, to the Justice Department, hello? Anybody? Bueller? 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 Should have droned the bastards a week ago. Meanwhile, some of them are beginning to figure out that people don't want them there. Lavoie Finicum, referenced earlier in the article, said today that, well, he knows people want him to leave, but.
They got lots of room, and wouldn't that be a terrible media presentation for us to come in there where we don't need the facility to show such poor faith to the county residents that want to hear what we're doing, and so there is no need for such fear. That's we're looking at today is Friday. We're hoping early, like Monday, probably Sunday. We try to kick things down on Sunday, but we're looking towards Monday to get this done. Maybe Judge will have a change of heart and allow his residents of his county to come and meet with us personally. We have a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, goody.
That we want to give to so that they can have some concrete clarity of our actions.
Well,
we want them to be comfortable, the county people to come in and be able to sit down.
Well,
we meet with them all the time there, but we want to have them have the opportunity to meet with us also in the town.
How about holding the judge accountable for a direct violation of the First Amendment? People have the freedoms to assemble.
Well, my understanding is that the judge is actually in violation of specific statutes right now by his actions. You know, I'm not an attorney at that level or anything like that, but that's my understanding, that he is actually violating specific statutes by his actions.
Is there anything you can tell us about your plans to leave?
Right. No, I will let Ammon present that. Ammon Bundy, he is the person to present that. He's the one that actually set this whole thing in motion, and so it would be proper and appropriate for that to come from him.
One little note here. To the same or to a similar extent that the for-profit media have been a driving force behind the rise of T-Rump, the only man who can save Merca. Well, they're fueling this as well, because the Cletus here has a whole bunch of microphones in front of him, and they're not just from weirdo right wing radio networks. May I ask journalistically what these practitioners of sedition have to say that is newsworthy? Now, it turns out it hasn't just been one guy running around in government vehicles. These dumbasses have been driving government vehicles hither, thither, and yon. But, yes, Kenneth Miedenbach of Crescent, Oregon, aged 62, was finally arrested, according to the Harney County Sheriff's Office, on probable cause for unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. Law enforcement officers recovered two vehicles stolen from the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had previously reported the vehicle stolen to the Harney County Sheriff's Office. One pickup truck and one passenger van have been toddling around, and they've got magnetic signs on them that now say, Harney County Resource Center, which is the name that the weirdos out there with the dildos and the bag of penis candy and so forth. That's what they're calling our bird sanctuary now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let's go back to Lavoie Finicum. Don't know.
The residents, a lot of them are asking that you don't leave too soon because they don't want to get back to the powers that be call normal. Which is
I thank you for the question. It's a softball question, but I would sure love to hit that because it's very important. Is that yes, the answer is yes. The most common thing that these ranchers had to say when they began to come to us was that they were very concerned and fearful of retaliations by the federal government, by the Forest Service, by the BLM. And they said, Will you leave us alone? Will you stir this up, and then will you leave when we need you? If we start standing up and sticking our heads out and making a stand, will you leave us alone? And did you not witness the pressure that was brought to bear upon the Puckets? I announced that we were going to go open that fence. And did you know the FBI was there before I even got down in my truck and got out here, putting pressure upon them? FBI and BLM, the intimidation that they put upon these people, they're well organized, and they got there before we did. And so that is true. Well, if there's no other questions, I think I'll get back to work.
Can you talk about progress with the grand jury and Judge Doucette? How's that
going? No, I can't really make any comments on that.
Grand jury proceedings being secret and everything.
Okay. Well, what was fed back to me, because I don't go to that, I go to the meetings that are here, and that's 100%, okay? The meetings in there, I heard that there was a third that says, you guys need to get out of Dodge, and a third that says, we like what you're doing, we're not liking your method, appreciate it, but we want you to go, and about a third saying, don't go, stay. But let's talk about a republic. It's the right of the individual that we're looking at, not the right of the collective. You know, if there's just one rancher that's saying, please help me.
Dumbass, no. Republic comes from the Latin res publica, which is most simply and literally translated as the public thing. And it is indeed a thing. It's not the public person. It is, in its very essence, collective in nature. Because when you don't collectivize in some way or some form or fashion, well, you've got anarchy, and that's what these clowns are. They are seditious anarchists. They don't recognize anarchy is a Greek-rooted word meaning without archons, and the archons were the leaders. Without leaders. And so they want a sort of a leaderless thing, except for, I guess, their spiritual leader is Cliven Bundy and Ammonium Fosdex Bundy, whatever. But we got us a republic, so we can't leave, even though people wants us to leave. You got that?
And a third that says, we like what you're doing, we're not liking your method, appreciate it, but we want you to go. And about a third saying, don't go, stay. But let's talk about a republic. It's the right of the individual that we're looking at, not the right of the collective. You know, if there's just one rancher that's saying, please help me, please don't go. What about him? What about the Hammonds? What about that family that's in prison? What about the one? We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that one family.
And you know what? Those two fellas wouldn't be in prison if they hadn't committed arson and nearly gotten a firefighter killed. Arson on public lands that are owned by you and me, we the people. But we understand that. These people, on the other hand, are, and I want to make sure that I've got the best, fools. Mm-hmm. Ron in Raleigh with a note says, subject line, the same thing. The Justice Department is doing the same thing as the Antitrust Division is doing about all these mega mergers. Not a goddamn thing. I'm so pissed off about this obvious kid glove treatment of these dim-witted assholes, I could eat dirt and run rabbits. I know the feeling. Meanwhile, Marty asks, what statutes were violated by the judge? Because, we're pretty sure he's violated some specific statutes. Well, those are the statutes that exist only in the minds of these evangelical fundamentalist ammonsexuals, I guess. To wit, none. Just like the Constitution is a Constitution that exists only in their own minds. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Marty suggests, okay, if they're there for that one rancher, then go to that one rancher's property and get off the Republic's land, the Union. Mm-hmm. Robert in Australia points out, Bob, when the clowns who currently occupy the bird sanctuary leave or are dragged out or however it ends, who's going to get the bill for the cleanup? I take it the place will be in a complete mess both inside and out by the time they go. It will be. Actually, what they're looking for is an excuse to burn it down. Remember, they said early on, we came here to die. Huh? Huh? So they're hoping they'll be given an excuse to set fires inside and die some horrible patriot death. Robert also notes, under the subject line, I just don't understand anymore. I find the chant of USA, USA has become as annoying as the brain-dead idiots here in Australia who shout out, Aussie, 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 oi, 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 at Anzac Cove. How was that? Yes, I'm getting a little nervous. I really don't know how the world will handle a thug and a bully like T-Rump should he win the race for the presidency. He can't scream you're fired at countries who don't do exactly what he tells them. And after seeing the way his supporters behave, ripping up protest signs, dragging people out of his rallies for wearing T-shirts with peaceful messages on them, and beating up non-whites, I'm worried what the USA would be like under a President T-Rump. It's all getting a bit too depressing thinking about it. Well, you can get depressed, Robert. Over here, we're getting a little nervous. Now, just in case you think that, this is just how these things go down, and this has absolutely nothing to do with white wealth privilege. Once upon a time, back in 1979, there was an outfit called People Organized for Equal Rights. And they were mostly people of color. And as I said, in 1949, these 40 members, well, they set up camp in a federal nature preserve south of Savannah, Georgia. It just so happened that nature preserve was where their own ancestors had lived for generation upon generation. This story gets repeated a number of times in that area, the low country of Georgia and South Carolina. Georgia in particular, there's a place called Sapelo Island. Mm-hmm. And then there's another little island that a plantation owner had deeded to a former slave after the Civil War, and other freed slaves and their descendants settled there. I know about this. I've talked to some people who had involvement with this. The area is known as Harris Neck. And they lived there for decades working, fishing, farming the land, because they were very good at it. In 1942, however, with the Second World War well underway, the U.S. military came in and appropriated Harris Neck through eminent domain. And they gave the people who lived there, who had built their lives there, 3 weeks to get out. The people who owned the land, the African-American descendants of former slaves who owned the land, were paid well under fair market value. And then, having ejected them, the federal government came in and just bulldozed the houses, the factories, and the farms. After World War II, the government abandoned the airstrip it had built there, at which point it was converted into the Harris Neck National Wildlife Refuge. So in 1972, 26 families organized to take the land back, being as it had been abandoned by the federal government. And so they set up camp in the nature preserve. And I remember being down there a couple of years ago and hearing this straight from the mouths of the people who had been involved in it. This is the heart and soul of the Geechee Gullah culture. And a beautiful culture it is. The protesters, none of whom were carrying guns like these white folks are in Oregon, none of whom were claiming to hope to set up kangaroo courts and try people for imaginary crimes. They simply said they wanted $50 million in reparations to rebuild the churches and the schools and the businesses and the homes that the government had bulldozed 40 years before. Mm-hmm. In that instance, at Harris Neck, the federal government, under the Carter administration, ran. They didn't walk or amble or stroll. They ran to a federal judge and got a court order, an injunction. One day after the protesters had set up camps, they pitched some tents, whatever. May 2nd, 1979, they were forcibly removed. That was day three. Each of the four men were sentenced to a month in jail for trespass. And even still, and the reason that I heard about it is even still those descendants have not given up their struggle to try to get their homes back. So there's a commonality. Malheur was Northern Paiute land. And this was land that was actually deeded, given to former slaves to work and farm and subsist. And the federal government didn't even take 3 days. It didn't even take a week before the government moved in and ejected them. And they had an actual claim to the land. They had a colorable claim. But they were, and what's the word I'm looking for, black. As Texas Betsy remarks, the same country that can win world wars and destabilize the Middle East can't even arrest a bunch of yahoos when they come into town for supplies. No, because see, because white. They might get upset. The white people might. And we can't have white folks upset. Because that wouldn't be... We can't do that, you see. Because they have tender fifis and imaginary constitutions. Whew. What an evening. What an evening. So I've run over the top of the hour. I presume that Sparky has the bat signal up. So jump right in if you'd like. Remember, if you've never done it before, you send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc. And, well, we'll get at it here in just a moment. I thought of this piece, little piece of pop music when Robert wrote, "I just don't understand anymore." This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Time for the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is Friday on the Front Porch. And really, who can take exception to a little bit of something with some Michael McDonald backing vocals? Honestly, that was from the Grammy Award-winning Christopher Cross self-entitled LP, and I think he won Artist of the Year that year, didn't he? The Artist of the Year Grammy is a it's a curse. Stephen China, musical interlude. FYI, the background beat and synthesizer used in that horrific Freedom Girls number is intentionally or not a direct ripoff of Deborah Harry's Remember Blondie? Global popular hit Heart of Glass. I can just see Daddy Disco stomping his own heart out over that one. I was just wondering if she or any other member of the band would have any sort of copyright or ideological issue with that fact. Anybody out there got Miss Harry's phone number? Regards, Stephen China. You never know. Somebody might. Also, this coming in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas Stan. Subject line, mythical justice. Justice in the U.S. is not blind. It contemplates color and class and discriminates accordingly. You know, that needs to be a motto or something on a crest because it's absolutely the truth. Justice in the U.S. is not blind. It contemplates color and class and discriminates accordingly. That's why the federal government knew that it could go in and bulldoze arrest, seize four human beings simply trying to get their ancestral lands back, stick them in jail for a month apiece, and get a declaratory judgment or something saying, nope, this is definitely federal land. Yep, mm-hmm. And on the other hand, well, that. Let's go ahead and run over to the Skype line where Sparky is waiting. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
I'm just fine.
Any more El Nino to deal with this evening?
Oh, not today. It's getting grayer.
What's the snow cap look like on Lassen?
Oh, snow's on all the mountains, all the way around the valley. When you can see them. Today, the cloud cover was pretty. I couldn't see Shasta. I didn't make a run to town. I couldn't see Shasta. because it had cloud cover on it. But the Trinity Alps are all covered with snow, and the Coast Range is all covered with snow. And last night it was clouded up too.
Well, that's got to be at least a little bit inspiring. Still don't have what you need, but it's not desperate.
Well, we have enough to make it muddy and mucky around here. I tried to get another load of wood delivered the other day before the rain started, but he couldn't, even it had rained. Not real hard that night, but I thought, oh, he still get in there. The guy comes and he's got a gooseneck dump trailer on a big Dodge Dually. He pulls out by the man cave and backs it in there, dumps the wood, and I pay him and everything fine. And I says, pull out around there, and he pulls out, and then I forgot to tell him about the garden area. He pulls right in there, drops the dually right down in my two garden spots where I had peppers growing and
oh, nice.
Growing last year. It's all tilled ground. He just sunk. So he had to call his buddies from they got a ranch out on the other side of town, and the owner of the ranch, they sell wood as a sideline. Their main thing is the ranch is for rodeo horses. They got about 200 head out there, and the guy travels all over the country with the horses, you know, for rodeos in the season. But anyway, this winter thing is wood sale, so they got him out. But I got these two big old ruts where the skeeny patch and the peppers were, and the potato patch was.
So you'll have a little work to do come spring.
Yeah, because it ain't drying out quick down here. I mean, it comes like every other day it rains, and it just keeps wetter and wetter, which is good. I won't have to worry about my well.
And neither will the folks who had new wells drilled.
That ain't using them. There's a few in the neighborhood. A few of them went ahead and used them.
Wow. Well,
did you see that article I sent you on the protests in Bend, Oregon?
No, I didn't see that.
I put it in the Horn chat, and it's in the chat here on Skype too. Evidently, they had a little demonstration today in Bend, Oregon, opponents to the takeover. They got signs that say, bullies go home, public lands are America's refuge. And I hear there's even a White House petition now that you can sign to take action to get them off the refuge.
Is there a petition yet for drone these dumbasses and improve the national IQ?
I don't think you can start one of those. Has to be in nice words.
Okay. Drone these seditious, traitorous Americans. Is that a little nicer, or is it the drone? Was it the dumbass or the droning?
Probably both.
Oh well. Yeah.
Well, got a couple people, more people want in, so move on to somebody else.
Okay. Well, Billable Rick is with us. Good evening. Good evening, Rick. How are you? I think.
He was the first one. Maybe he's busy on the phone.
Could be. Well, let's check in with not too awfully far from Sparky, Roger and Humboldt. How about you?
Well, if everything's working right, I think I'm here.
And everything sounds like it is. So move on. So good evening.
Yeah, good evening. I got a little thing about Cruz that I want to talk about down the road, but say hello to everybody first.
Oh, no. Well, okay. Roger in Minnesota is with us. Good evening, Roger.
Good evening.
Very good, very good. Devin has joined in. Devin?
Greetings and cell mutations.
Greetings and hallucinations, indeed. And I don't know if she's going to say anything, but good evening, Betsy. Okay. And I think we're going to have an issue here, but Jim in Nevada Stan is with us over on the stress line. Are you there, Jim?
Looking for a government installation to occupy or something like that, you know, because of freedom, you know.
Okay, are you on a speakerphone or regular handset?
No, I was. I turned it off.
Okay, because for some reason or another, you are, and I'm gonna tweak a little bit here. Not that kind of tweaking. Your audio is very low, so hopefully that'll improve. You can't hear the Skype group though, can you?
I can't hear what?
You can't hear the Skype group.
No, I'm not in the Skype group
though. No.
Can you hear us, Jim?
No, I've got a problem. We had a piece of technology fail over here, and I'm still sorting out the details. So Jim's there, but he can't hear you. Can you hear Jim?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, we'll get that sorted out sooner or later. So we've gotten our hellos, except everybody except Billable Rick.
And Betsy.
And Betsy, who says Windows 10 doesn't recognize that mic. I hate it when that happens. All right, well, Roger, we're coming back to you with Cruz then.
Okay, I need to unmute my microphone because I lost my little USB stick for my headset. My thing about Cruz, and this comes from Alan Grayson out of Florida, when the Constitution was written, and that clause about natural-born citizen was created. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just talking strict constructionist number. Women were property, and it didn't matter who your mother was. It mattered who your father was. And when he wants to claim U.S. citizenship based on his mother being a U.S. citizen, even though she was on the Canadian voter rolls, if you're a really Scalia, Alito, Thomas Supreme Court justice and really want to deal with the Constitution, there is no way in hell that Cruz is a citizen based on strict constructionist numbers, and therefore he is not entitled to be president.
And that makes perfect sense. I've seen several articles about this, Roger. It goes back to English common law, and in this case it was largely deliberately, intentionally, and purposefully adopted into U.S. law, the meaning of natural-born citizen. And in this case
it was largely... All right, now the other side of that is that I caught a little discussion that clause was put in to prevent Alexander Hamilton from being eligible to be president. And I have done some research on it, not exhaustive, but a little bit of research, and haven't been able to find out, other than the fact that Alexander Hamilton was born in Nova Scotia and a couple other little tidbits. But I've not been able to find anything written down about it. And so I really don't know where all this is going to go. I just think it's kind of amusing to sit back and watch it going on.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
I think Jim's got something going on in the background.
That does sound like Jim echoing back.
I'm just going to disconnect. I'll just listen in.
Okay, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Bye now.
All right.
And I, in turn, will try to get the stress line taken care of over the weekend. What's interesting is that the Democratic Party, Roger, has said that they will happily, should Cruz be the nominee, they will happily sue him to prevent him from being president. I didn't know the part about Alexander Hamilton, but it makes perfect sense. Even though Hamilton was he was intelligent within that time frame. He wasn't the equal of James Madison, but he was known as a ruthless climber, and he was pretty much the power behind the presidency of George Washington. And there may very well have been a number of people who wanted to make sure that little bastard that he was, couldn't be president. Because, among other things, the man had real royalist tendencies.
You're a much more expert scholar than am I, and because of the way I live my life and all the rest of that, I haven't been able to listen to Dr. Bill for a while, but it almost sounds like a question that should get shifted over to Dr. Bill on that clause. Oh, God, I read the Constitution today, and I forget which section it is and all the rest of that, where they talk about natural-born citizen, 35-year-old, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe Dr. Bill could fill in some information.
In point of fact, I'll message him this weekend and ask him if he could delve into that maybe for Monday's program, because this, as Charlie Pierce pointed out, he said, you know, you don't really think that T-Rump knew what he was doing when he questioned his ability to be president. And, of course, no one does. The man is not that, he's not that well-versed in the Constitution, and he's just not that bright. But I think if anybody can go into the Federalist Papers and the various histories involved, Dr. Bill would be the one.
But the one thing that really comes to my mind is that when the Constitution was written in the late 1700s, women had no... When a woman got married, they were the property of their husband. All their property became the husband's, da-da-da-da-da. They couldn't inherit, etc. And I disagree with that idea. But if you really want to bore down into a strict constructionist argument about the Constitution, which the rats on the Supreme Court love to do, his mother's citizenship has absolutely no bearing. And we can get into whether or not she was lost her citizenship because she registered to vote, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Go back further. The strict construction of the Constitution is his father was not a U.S. citizen, therefore he is not a U.S. citizen.
But that's a can of worms people are going to be loath to open, because that sort of drags the whole birtherism thing with Barack Obama back into it.
However, Barack Obama, according to the 14th Amendment, was born in a U.S. state. And the 14th Amendment says if you're born on a U.S. state, territory, etc., John McCain, Barry Goldwater, all the rest of that, they were born in the United States. Cruz wasn't. So it's totally separate from John McCain's or Barry Goldwater, born in the Arizona Territory, or whatever. It's a totally separate argument. Now, there are going to be people that want to bring it in and try and confuse it, but it's a separate argument.
It is that, and the other part of that is that at the time of the ratification of the Constitution, bastardy was still a thing. I mean, the idea of bastardy had to be deliberately done away with by statute because it was a part of the common law. And so what I'm getting at there is that you're right, I'm agreeing with you. One status relative to the fatherhood or to one's father is what was determinative of one's of one's own status, because everybody's got a mother. But within the English common law system, you had to have a formal father. And for instance, Alexander Hamilton didn't have that. And arguably, even though they were married, that's, you know, that raises the quest, that raises the question with Cruz. And it's the born, it's the, and actually the business with his mother and the voter rolls in Canada come into play pretty significantly.
Now, I do know that when I was living in England in 1959, 1960, and I went and joined the British Boy Scouts, because I was a Boy Scout here in the United States, I joined the Boy Scouts in England, there was a separate Boy Scout oath in England for foreign people, because the laws in the United States was that if you swore allegiance to a foreign power, you lost your citizenship. And the Boy Scouts in England actually created another Boy Scout oath that did not require me to swear allegiance to the Queen. I basically swore allegiance. I don't remember the words now. Come on, I was 14 sure. years old, and I'm 70 now. But there was a separate Boy Scout oath that all foreign nationals who chose to be in the Boy Scouts did, because they were, did not want anybody to lose their citizenship. So the Boy Scout oath was created to not deny me my citizenship. Now, had I said the regular oath and all the rest of that crap, nothing probably would have happened. But even back in 1959, there was a separate oath where I could be a member of the British Boy Scouts and not swear allegiance to Queen Elizabeth II or the Great Britain, however you want to deal with that. But it was a serious number, even back in 1959, that you did not lose your citizenship because you wanted to be a Boy Scout in a foreign country.
Well, and in particular in that era, because that's in the middle of the Red Scare, and by 1959, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance had only recently been amended to include one nation under God. So I don't think even back then. No, it's particularly back then. So all of that, and the thing that's interesting out of all of this is that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American. Well, he doesn't have anybody who's willing to pick up his slack. He's alienated almost the entirety of the Republican Party. He's alienated every member of the United States Senate from his own party. Of course, it goes without saying that the Democrats despise him. And the only thing he's got left are the are people like Louis Asparagus Gohmert and Steve Cantaloupe's King, and neo-Maxi Zoom Dweeby from the 5th Congressional District of Alabama, and maybe Looney Mooney from West Virginia. So he's got nobody that's really, even I doubt if the RNC would even put up that much of a fight if it turned out that the Democratic Party sued and he was the nominee, because that would give the Republican Party the opportunity to go ahead and, oh well, we're sorry Ted, you lost, too bad, here our nominee's going to be Jebbia.
But if he gets more delegates than anybody else, what does it say about the country?
Well, that becomes voidable. If he can't be president, If elected, he can't serve. So that would mean the Republican Party would have to go back and go to the first runner up because the queen, because the winner of the pageant was unable to fulfill his term.
Well, it could be the Republican National Convention could be a very interesting view.
It may be if T. Rump doesn't just go ahead and run away with it. But the thing is, it looks like, and I know this is unfathomable to some people, it looks like T. Rump is going to do exactly that. God, he didn't let up on Jebbia last night, and it got to the point where Jebbia was pleading for him not to be mean to him.
Well, being a good Democrat, I didn't even watch the thing last night. I'm going to be watching on Sunday, but I didn't watch the show last night.
I watched it as long as I could stand it.
I couldn't take it anymore. I watched Hillary on Rachel.
Yeah, that was interesting too. Hey, let me run over and see who we've got on the stress line. That whoever it is can't hear you guys, but we can hear from them. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello. Oh,
hello.
They left. The Skype line is now empty.
Hey, Bob, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
How are you?
I'm well. And Windows 10 recognizes your microphone finally.
Yeah, well, I had to plug it into the back of the computer instead of the front. I won't pretend to understand much.
I more than understand that.
Anyway, that's all I got at the moment.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if there was more or not. And let's bid a good evening to the Angry Indian.
Hey, my man, what's going on? Everyone else?
You.
No, it's never me. No, I don't know. I'm waiting till we get around to talking about this coup that's going on here in fucking Oregon.
Yeah.
And why they waited so goddamn long to grab somebody for driving a truck when these fuckers are destroying property and now destroying Indian artifacts, destroying sacred goddamn areas, because of course the Paiute people, the Northern Paiute, were pushed off that goddamn space by the federal government. And we're looking at Manifest Destiny 2016, where these fuckers figure, well, you know, we owe money to the government, so we're not going to pay, because we got this crazy idea that that John Smith and the Mormons and shit don't have to obey government, like every motherfucking buddy else. They don't have to pay taxes, they can take out loans, they don't have to repay them, you know, and they got the money. They're fucking multimillionaires, and they got the money, but, you know, they don't want to pay, like the Koch brothers. When they talk about individual responsibility and blah, 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 and the 14th Amendment, blah, 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 because they really don't give a damn about freed slaves. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I should have a right to make as much goddamn money as I want. And if people get hurt and if people get cheated and what have you, hey, fuck it, man. You know, survival of the fittest, social Darwinism. That's the only kind of science that we accept. You know, eugenics and shit solidifies, you know, the whole point of all of this. And hey, you know, we won. The Indians are gone. We got them pushed into these goddamn little reservations. So, you know, we're going to do this again. We're the 3%, because only 3% led the revolution. The Sons of Liberty, the American fucking colonial terrorist group, went around hanging people, skinning people alive, setting fire to their livestock, setting fire to their farms, if they did not support the fucking revolution against the British. You know, so, yeah. We can talk about that.
Yeah, we certainly can, and more. I just realized I had neglected something here. There is a challenge on the table this evening, and I want to thank folks who jumped in early and took a bite out of the deficit as it existed. Thanks going out to Roger in Minnesota and. To Kim in New Jersey. Let me get stuff get what I need here. Just one second. Thanks. Kim and Malin in New Jersey, I should have said. We're very close to where we need to be, and our buddy Gary Laborman sent me a note and said, Bob, there's a challenge on the table. Come on, Kincaidians, let's just get this covered by the end of today's program. And in fact, if Laborman's $150 challenge is met, we will have taken every last bit out of the deficit that we had going in for this evening. So I wanted to make sure people knew that that challenge was on the table. And thanks to everybody else for kicking in and helping, because it's huge. It's been kind of a weird week. So that is out there. And big thanks to Gary Laborman for putting that on the table. Now we can talk about all of those things, angry and ever so much more. Let me ask you though. I mean, is obviously you're not out there in the wilds of the Malheur, but you are you're in the state. Is it becoming more of a topic of conversation?
Not really. Maybe it's just my social circle. Not really. I mean, unless I bring it up, or someone makes a casual, oh, you mean like those crazies going on over in, you know, something like that. No, people are not really talking about it. People don't want to talk about it. I was in Seattle a couple of days ago. No one's really talking about it up there either. They're not discussing it. It's not a topic. You know, it's just not.
Why? Why? I mean, I'm not trying to be argumentative, but why not?
Well, from what I can understand, at least, and this is just quick analysis. I mean, I was speaking to one of my neighbors. He's in his 90s, Navy veteran. And he said that he heard that there was a disturbance, a civil disturbance, but he didn't know about the rest of it. So I told him and gave him the background on the Hammonds and everything. And he was just like, these people are American? And I said, yeah. And I said, one of them is an ISIS supporter at that. And he's like, and no, they're not doing anything about it. They're letting us go on. I said, it's in the second week, sir. And he just looked at me. He goes, what? Why doesn't Mr. Obama, you know, do something? I said, well, you and I have talked about this before. Mr. Obama's black. Now, I have to say something about this gentleman. You know, this is somebody from the Midwest. Like I said, he's in his mid-90s. He's from the Midwest. Grew up in a completely different world, right? You know, served in World War II. And, you know, admitted to me that there were two times that he wanted to say something about racism when he was in the Midwest. And said, I was afraid, because I was afraid about what other white people would do to me. And he's like, I really feel bad about that now. And I'm like, well, I understand it, you know. And he's like, but I feel like I'm a coward. I said, look, you did what you had to do at the time, but you understand that. You're honest with yourself, at least, about this. You know, you have hindsight, whatever. But, you know, you have a lot of folks that are not going to admit that. You know, the majority of a reason why Trump is able to do what he's doing and Cruz and, you know, all of this is because the average person is just, you know, afraid to say anything. My mother-in-law had to work around Republicans until she recently retired. And she said, I just didn't talk. I just didn't say anything. Because if you tell them that, you know, you don't go, you know, you don't believe in church or religion the way that they do, they're nasty to you, and it makes it hard to get through your day. You know, so I just don't say anything. And, you know, and they talk about being bullied all the time, while they got Fox News, while they got Trump doing what he's doing, that the mainstream news isn't talking about anybody else. They totally forgot about Bernie Sanders kicking ass in the DNC, to the point where Debbie Wasserman Schultz is sabotaging her own goddamn constituents.
Well, in regard to that, and I don't want to be sleazy or nasty about this, because I refuse to be. But I think we have to deal with the factual realities of Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's candidacy, and this latest business about how no, we can't have universal single payer health care has me pretty close to furious.
Yeah, I don't know where the hell that came from, other than I need to win. I just want to win. I want to win, and I want the business community to know there's a big chasm between me and Bernie Sanders, because Sanders said, I am not going to be your goddamn friend. I'm going to treat you the way you should have been treated a hell of a long goddamn time ago, and you'll still have money. We all know that the Clintons are Republican light. When that man said that he was a pro-business candidate, I remember reading that in the New York Times, and I was convinced that he was telling the truth.
Well, I mean, who else but a Republican says, I'm telling you, the era of big government is over.
Is over. Yeah, I mean, come on. But he played sax on the Arsenio Hall show, right?
Right, and so therefore he gets to be America's first black president.
You know, he
I mean, I look back on that, and it, you know, that made me feel creepy back when it happened. But now it's just odious.
No, but what was real creepy, Brother Bob, for somebody like me, is that it was validated by black people.
Oh.
It was validated by black people who supposedly are the brains behind the community, right? They validated that. And he's in Harlem right now, displacing people. You know, if you read the New York Times and some of the black reporters, like the Amsterdam News, if it's still even being published, they have gentrified. They led the gentrification of Harlem. White people took Harlem back.
Well, the Dutch did build it. That's why it's Harlem.
Well, yeah, you know.
No, I'm being a smart aleck, but...
Well, no, you're right. I mean, look, there's population shift all over, and there's reasons for it, and we need to discuss why. You know, sometimes it's gentrification. Sometimes it's war. Sometimes it's goddamn economic fucking violence. People have to move. Sometimes things like global climate goddamn warming, because, you know, we allowed the fucking GOP to turn that into, you know, climate change. It's global motherfucking warming. What is that motherfucker's name? They're propagandists. Frank Luntz?
Well, that's one of them.
Yeah, well, we're watching you, Frank. You know, you and Ruta Finn, you know, we who have kind of dipped our foot in the industry, you know, we're looking at you because we know what the fuck you did. We know what you're doing. And that's the reason that Trump can come on. The United States, look, Henry Miller said this a long time, and he would goddamn know. The United States has been looking for an Ayatollah for a long fucking time. But they never really had the balls, especially after World War II, to take that extra fucking step. They've tried. We know about the business plot. They've tried. But they've never really had anybody with the fucking personality that, and the money, basically, to say, I don't give a fuck. They can't do anything to me. They can't touch me.
Well,
I mean,
see,
he isn't even paying for advertising.
Check it out. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, it was a fit of pique that drove the Republicans to pass, what is it, the 22nd Amendment, term limits on the presidency?
Mm.
Is that the 22nd? They passed.
Yeah, that's one of the brothers and sisters.
They passed term limits on the presidency because they were angry about FDR. And I submit that is the single most dangerous anti-democratic thing that has ever been done to the Constitution. If we even want to consider democracy as operative, even remotely.
No, I believe in term limits, personally.
But I don't. Not for the presidency. Because...
See, that's kind of scary, Bob, because what if somebody gets in and then you can't, you know, through legislation, you can't, through a vote, you know, get
them
out?
All the sons of bitches are mortal, okay? There's not one of them going to live forever. But I reject term limits, Angry, for the same reasons that the framers did. What little bit of democracy was afforded to the people was afforded at the ballot box. Okay, and a term limit takes that away. If you've got, I mean, okay, let's say Bernie Sanders. If you've got term limits on a Bernie Sanders and he's still rocking and he's still doing everything that progressives want to do, you really want him to step down?
No. See, I see your point. But here's me being not the devil's advocate, but being a polemicist, right? You know, looking at that and saying that's cool, you know, when things are going okay. But when you get a Pinochet in, then what? See, when you get a Hitler,
but we never did.
You know.
But we never did. You know, FDR had multiple terms because this country had the common good sense not to change horses in mid World War. And you know, mortality caught up with him. You know, he died relatively young. FDR did.
Well, he was sick. I mean, he had a lot of health problems.
So. Polio will do that to you. But the larger problem here is that ever since then. Every president who has come along, and, you know, barring Kennedy, who didn't get to live out even his first term, every president who has come along has been compelled to stop after two terms, no matter how good he was. I don't, you know, I would hold this contention, whether it was dim leader still in office or Barack Obama, because what happens is the president gets elected, and he spends his first term trying to get reelected because he knows he's only got two. And then once he gets the second term, he starts working on his legacy because he's only got two. And so you reach this default situation whereby a lot of presidential time gets wasted because of the nature of the electoral process and the limits upon his or her time in office. And the only reason that I bring all of this up is that should Trump become the president of the United States of America, I expect him to ask for a repeal of the 22nd Amendment.
Oh, of course. Of course. The Koch brothers have actually talked about that.
Or if they get their convention of the states angry, that will be one of the ones that goes. You know, once Barack Obama is safely out of the way, because they'll write it in such a way as to say, you know, going forward, it's repealed. It doesn't uh-huh. apply to Bill or W or that one.
Uh-huh. But one of the reasons why I wouldn't suggest being monolithic on this is that how did W get in the first place?
Well, he wasn't elected.
You know, people like me weren't even allowed to vote. So as long as the system is screwed and you have a culture that goes for it, be it the presidential culture, because that is the culture, you know, I mean, it is. We don't want to accept this. But, you know, they don't casually just say, oh, well, every kid can become president. You know, I remember looking at that photo of Bill Clinton and JFK, too. And like I said, in my house, I was raised to look at the Kennedy family as Jack and his kids. You know, because they were supposedly so pro-black, which really wasn't true. It's a misunderstanding of what was happening during the Civil Rights Movement. But the point is, if you have a corrupt system from the beginning, and then you have no term limits whatsoever, you're allowing for another, like, political oligarchy that can get in that will maintain itself. I can look at Mexico and see that.
Yeah, but look what's about to happen here anyway. It's presumed that... And has been that Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton is the de facto nominee of the Democratic Party. You know,
the Democratic Party is going to make sure it's going to happen like
dynastic
that.
Dynastic machine politics. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And let me move over here and check in over on the stress line because I suspect we have Todd. Hey, Todd. Todd. Or whomever is in the 267 area code. You're connected. Oh, I got the wrong button. Bad me. Are you there, Todd?
Hey, so there's something very strange going on with our political process right now. I mean, aside from the things in Oregon, and I don't know if Angry can hear me or not.
He can hear you. You just can't hear him.
Okay, because I've only been to Oregon once. I was in Bend, which is right in the middle of the state. But you got to fly into Portland. And anyway, the reason I brought that up is because it seems like they have been having this issue where that part of Oregon wants to secede and make their own state with Northern California, maybe mm-hmm. part of that area. That could be part of it. But this whole thing is all messed up. All right, and I'm not trying to get off on too much of a tangent because there's so many cogent, so many really, like, deep topics here that are on the table. But the thing with the presidential process right now that is so scary, I mean, I heard what you said earlier about Trump because, honestly, he doesn't come off as that learned in terms of, like, that he studied. But I don't know if he got a consultant or what, but it seems like he's got the... I heard someone say this, and I've looked at it, and I agree. He gets these facial features of Mussolini sometimes.
Yeah, I said that.
Then, okay, right. And then it's like he's doing the beer hall thing, like the guy did. That guy, you know.
Yeah. Don't worry. The pool's already closed for the evening. So, but thank you for keeping it to less than one syllable.
Well, it's so. I don't know why more people aren't picking up on this. And now.
Because a whole lot of people in this country don't have that kind of mental acuity, Todd. I mean, the people who support him, really, I doubt if there's a 110 IQ in the whole bunch. I doubt if there's one single person in the entire support network of Donald Trump who has a 110 IQ.
But wait a minute, this bullshit now with this. You know, I saw the video. I saw it on. I got this hooked up. I'm a cord cutter, so I got this thing where I can see everything. You know, it's people running shit through Iceland and it bounces back over here and all that kind of nonsense. But anyway, I didn't want to hear the audio when I saw the little video with the little girls because it looked creepy. And I mean, when you see it without the audio, it's like, oh, here we go with the pedophiles. You know, that's how this shit looks, first of all. But second of all, the melody, it's like over there. You know, what the fuck, man? This is like history 101. What the fuck is wrong with these people? You know, he's trying to send the doughboys out against everybody. You know, he's evoking people to kill the president, to kill whoever, the other guy. It's so
funny. There was a very telling moment last night when, whoever that weirdo moderator is, asked the question, would you really put a 45% tax, a 45% surcharge on Chinese goods? Absolutely. And then he tried to explain himself by saying, you know, but they would knuckle under. They would give in to me. And even the Republicans, the other Republicans on the stage weren't having any of it. They're saying, you know, Jesus, Donald, that'll all just be passed on to the consumer. So, you know, a shirt made in China will cost 45% more, and you think they're not going to retaliate? And the unspoken thing there, Todd, was that the United States is not in any position to even contemplate the idea that the Chinese would retaliate economically against us. They could, I mean, even under their economically shaky situation right now, they could cause tremendous economic chaos in this country. And you know the old saying that you don't start a war with a guy who buys ink by the barrel. Well, you don't start an economic war with a country for whom your population is a rounding error.
See, I have to agree with Hillary Clinton. Everybody already understood this before she said it, but you see, Trump is very dangerous, and it's not even the fact that he might be elected or might not, because I'm not quite sure. I think there's three possibilities with that. Number one, you got to remember, he's a businessman. He could have made a deal. He's always talking about a deal. He wants a deal. He could be getting paid off to disrupt the system. You know, that's kind of out there, but that's a possibility.
No, sometimes I watch him. Sometimes I watch him, Todd, and I think the same thing. That this is just too perfect.
Yeah, because do you remember when he had to regroup? He couldn't believe that he'd gotten that far. He's like, oh, shit, I have to actually do something now. Damn. These people are that stupid. Holy cow.
But he's still enjoying the hell out of himself. And the Republicans are really beginning to get quite nervous. I got a story here about Holland Redfield, who's a committee man for the RNC from the Virgin Islands. And he was in a closed-door meeting and got himself recorded practically begging Rince Priebus to go mano a mano with T-Rump. He tells him, you can argue with me, but we're almost terrorized as members of our party. Shut up, toe the line, embrace each other, and let's go forward. I understand that, but there's a limit to loyalty. I'm loyal to this party by speaking out on these very issues. As a party, we owe it to ourselves to speak up and not let the tail wag the dog and not let someone say all of a sudden, if you don't play my game, then I'm running as an independent. The Republican Party is even now realizing that it's running out of time. Because, see, whereas there are some open questions as to what what the outcome will be in New Hampshire and Iowa. I mean, I've seen some hilarians who are saying, "Oh yeah, well, I mean, those are skewed polls, and she's going to mop the floor with Bernie in New Hampshire and Iowa." I guess that could happen, especially given the money involved. But the fact of the matter is, nobody's going to run up and take New Hampshire or Iowa from Trump, and there is no way that any of that field is going to get South Carolina. Now, I mean, maybe I'll be proven absolutely undeniably wrong, but you're in South Carolina, Todd. You tell me.
I'm here. That's what I was going to say. I'm here, and I'm here as a person who used to visit a lot as a young person and who's been here as a mature person. And I'm telling you, this place is exactly like those people out there in Oregon. This is exactly what it's like. So, that being said, this is exactly why we're in a very dangerous place politically and national scene, because now what Dr. Bill was talking about a year and a half or 2 years ago with this constitutional convention, it's being bandied about, right?
And what happened? What happens when the bully pulpit of the presidency is behind a convention of the states?
See, exactly. This is a bull. This is like that bull on Wall Street in New York. This is like the bull is that's our this is our democracy is that bull right now, and no one has got control of this bull right now. The GOP is out of control. They've got an infidel or a crazy person or all of the above. You understand? Because at the end of the day, he one kind of way out of this. He wants a deal. That's what he does. I lived in Dutchess County when he was in the 80s when he was fucking New York up, right? And I used to go to New York every weekend, and he would be kicking people out. He was infamous for that. He'd take a building over and kick everybody out. He wouldn't do any maintenance. He'd wait for all these claims to come. He'd claim bankruptcy, and then he'd open up a shell company and then redevelop the building. You know, he's a scumbag. He's a real scumbag. But he is taking over this party, and they don't know what to do.
Well, they'll know what to do when they have to, because never forget, the nature of a Republican being authoritarians is to get in line and march when they are told to get in line and march. So if he's the nominee, that's exactly what they're going to do, Todd. They will, every last one of them, become Trumpistas, and they will not cross party lines.
He has South Carolina, and our governor, I used to really have very little respect for Nikki Haley, but when the flag controversy, the Confederate flag controversy came around, she really did step up, and I started paying a little more attention to what she was doing at that point, and she lost a lot of support in the state.
Well, she lost it in the state, but she overnight she became vice presidential timber, and the other night with her lock-jawed smile and her unblinking eyes and her whiter than copy paper teeth, she mm-hmm. you know she was trying to make a case for being the vice presidential nominee because the Republicans need something like that. But nobody is going to tell Trump who his nominee is going to be.
But see, you just sparked something. I'm glad that we are talking about this because, you see, I think one of the things that happened to her when she didn't know what would happen. I mean, in other words, she didn't know how volatile that flag situation was, I don't think. Because what has happened now is that these secessionist people have really gotten emboldened. And I think that's part of why she doesn't care anymore. She has a bigger aspiration. She's like, these people are crazy. I just can't continue with this.
She's not going to be governor again, okay? Is she? Isn't she term limited?
Sure. I think you can run as long as you get elected. Yeah, but I don't know if she'll win again. These people are upset about that ridiculous flag.
And see, understand? You know. I kind of predicted this. She only stepped in because it was a year before when she said, "Well, I don't know that the flag is any kind of an issue. No businesses have complained about it." Well, then the phone started ringing, and it was people like Boeing and Volvo and BMW, and suddenly they cared, and suddenly she cared, and she had a whole new understanding of why those people don't like that flag. Todd, I know you can't hear what's going on the other side, but I'm just going to ask you to stand by, and you can kind of holler if you need to chime in. I want to share a few other ideas. I got a note from Jennifer in Australia, and she said, to riff on Rummy, you become president with the country you have, not the country you might want or wish to have at a later time. The U.S. didn't morph into a predatory nation on 1/20/2009. President Obama's following his predecessors as they did theirs, managing a country actuated in part by complicit groupthink tribalism. Whoa. The fetishization of the executive branch has become almost cartoonishly hegemonic. A Superman with powers far beyond those of mortal men, faster than a speeding bullet, with the ability to leap tall buildings in a single bound, change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel with his bare hands, shove democracy down the throats while appropriating resources and fight the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And I agree with Jennifer. The presidency has been ever-changing. I mean, look, Thomas Jefferson was out there hooting and hollering for all he was worth about runaway federal power, and the minute he gets his hands on the presidency, he engages in the single greatest act up to that time, and for many, many years afterward, of presidential excess by purchasing the Louisiana Purchase from France. You know, all that fear of federalism was gone when he had that power. And that's what happens to presidents. I want to go back over into the Skype chat group because we've got people we still haven't heard from. Rick, are you there?
I am finally, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
It's been a busy day for me. Pretty good. I can't complain. I am trying to keep a client out of jail. And I had a meeting at the U.S. Attorney's Office today. And I was selling his defenses. Unfortunately, they weren't buying them so much. But I find that happens quite regularly. And I was on the phone just now with a client explaining to him exactly why they weren't buying it. So the fun things we get to do, you know?
Oh, it sounds like just absolute delight.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I just love to go into the federal zone. It's just so fun.
You're on the other side of the desk now, right?
Exactly. Just a second, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Sparky.
I found that petition. You want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
It says, we the Obama administration, we petition the Obama administration to arrest Ammon Bundy and the armed occupiers of Malheur Wildlife Refuge. President Obama, we respectfully request that you end the armed occupation of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge immediately. At the very least, you owe the American people an explanation as to why the area has not been isolated. Members of their organization can come and go as they please. Members of the community can visit the occupied facility, and other right-wing extremist groups such as the Idaho 3% can show their support. Law enforcement inaction up to this point is an egregious violation of public safety and emboldens their erroneous assertions that the U.S. government has no constitutional authority. Please end the siege of the refuge and arraign Ammon Bundy as soon as possible. See, nice, kind words.
Yeah, that is. I think it probably could have taken a little bit more artful language in the drafting, but it gets the point across.
Well,
the president can't arraign anybody.
I posted it on the Horn Facebook page, and only 93,412 signatures needed to reach the goal of 100,000 by February 8th.
Wow. Amazing. Let me move things along a little bit, pending billable Rick's return. Roger in Minnesota, there you are. Thank you, by the way. Thanks for being with us and joining in, and just wanted to make sure we didn't leave you out of the conversation.
Yeah, I just had to unmute here. I tried to chime in earlier, and I'm not quite sure about the mechanics of Skype because it seemed that I wasn't audible, even though I did have my mic on. My pleasure to support the effort and throw the shovel in to dig to throw some sand back in the hole.
Well, seriously, I do thank you, and we are almost out of the hole. I wanted to thank Leroy for chiming in. We are down to only $50 to go to meet Laborman's challenge. So thank you, and thank everybody who's participated this evening.
Bob, I don't want to hijack the conversation, but I want to jump back to a comment I wanted to make earlier.
Go right
regarding
ahead.
Regarding Cruz. And that's this. I did a little bit of looking into the legality of his ability to run, and I read all the editorials, the Atlantic and Boston Globe and New York Times, and what resources I could dig up. I took about 3 hours working on it yesterday. And the thing that jumps out in my to my attention most dramatically is the fact that at the time that Cruz was born, his mother had effectively forsworn U.S. citizenship. And if that's the threat upon which he's attempting to dangle his birthright citizenship, his so-called natural born citizenship, I think it's gone. The guy is, that doesn't mean that they won't manage to wiggle around it somehow. But the fact that, I mean, I don't know that she would have even had to have her citizenship taken from her formally by the State Department of the U.S. if she swore allegiance to the Canadian flag. I can't really imagine that her U.S. citizenship isn't functionally invalidated. I suppose it would have to be a judgment call, and it have to be seen in court. But doesn't that seem to be kind of the end of the conversation? To me, it does.
Well, if that's verified, Roger, it is.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and Betsy points this out, her Canadian voting is like 4 years after he was born.
No, my understanding was that she had become a Canadian citizen 4 years prior to her birth. Am I mistaken?
Well, that's not at all clear.
Okay.
I thought her appearance on the voter rolls happened after young Rafaelito was born.
Okay. Well, I don't know. What I did read something to the effect that she, prior to his birth, had effectively forsworn her U.S. citizenship by virtue of becoming a Canadian citizen. Now, that may or may not be true, and I am interested to know if anybody can verify or deny that. But in addition, Cruz is gone, I think, when it comes to the matter of the Goldman Sachs situation.
Oh, that little $500,000 that was just laying around?
I think that finishes him off. And the thing is, it's kind of too bad, because if Cruz had become the candidate, I don't think he would have been that hard to beat. I really think we're going to wind up seeing something like Kasich come up. Kasich or Rubio.
Well, and no? You know,
very possible.
Well, Jebbia's still got enough money to burn a sopping wet elephant with $100 bills.
Could be, yeah.
And they're all just they're trying to hang back. You know, it's like a horse race where you let the sprinters go up front and they tire out, and then you put the spurs to they'll go to the whip, as it were, and you surge forward. Kasich's hoping for that, and Jebbia is hoping for that. I hate to think that the American people are this shallow, Roger, but Marco Rubio may have been done in by the low spark of high heeled boys.
Well, We've seen phenomena like that in the past, clearly. I didn't mean to hijack us back to the earlier conversation. I must say the matter of the failure of the people, the responsible authorities to eject the sub-geniuses from the Church of Bob, not this Bob.
Yeah, different Bob.
But to eject the sub-geniuses, I really find that weirdly telling. Something there is really starting to stink bad, and I want to hear Angry rant a whole bunch more about it.
Well, about what in particular now?
I'm just appalled at first of all, greetings, Angry. You're one of my favorite people to hear spouting on the horn.
And you know, there's a whole bunch of amens that go with that. I've got a note here from Kelly saying, "Tell Angry we love him."
Yes, you're a great contribution to this project. I'm Roger in Minnesota, anyhow, yeah, the matter of what's going on in Oregon and the fact that there's been a failure to act, to me, it's just deeply telling, and I'm just appalled by it. I mean, if they think that they can avoid damage by standing back, I think they got another thing coming.
Well, I mean, if you go to my Twitter account right now, at the Angry Indian, you'll see a fucking serving U.S. soldier. A serving U.S. soldier who is telling me about Hillary should be jailed and Obama's impeached and he hates the fucking government and he's got his fucking uniform on in his goddamn avatar. He's out here fucking trying to badjacket me as a Daesh supporter because I didn't say, no, I don't support Daesh like I'm supposed to when I talk about on my goddamn show how these motherfucking terrorists should be stopped, how I have been on this program talking about how Daesh should have been stopped a hell of a long fucking time ago. That this shit is way goddamn out of control. But this is what the fucking right wing does. This is the bullshit that's going on in Oregon. I'm a white man. They're coming after me. They hate me. You know, we've taken everybody's goddamn land. Where I hear droning motherfuckers left and goddamn right. All of this shit is happening. You know, and in their mind, Indians are getting rich off casinos. Black people are getting rich from motherfucking hip-hop. Everybody got a check after Obama came in. There's no black poverty. I've heard white bigots say that. There's no black poverty. That's propaganda you see on TV. It's like Sesame Street. It's not real. There's no black poverty. And then what they'll do is they'll point to a man in the street, you know, a black man who's got a decent car or a decent pair of shoes. Or the family looks like they're doing okay because they're working fucking hard. No, no, it can't be right. It can't be right. Only I work hard. Only I deserve this. These people don't deserve this. And they twist their motherfucking religions around to where, yeah, you know, I'm supposed to have this. And if I have to lie, cheat, and fucking steal, hey, that's okay. I mean, the GOP admits that fact-checking is not a part of their fucking it's not a part of their debate process. Go to Media Matters. No,
Angry, their saint is Ronnie Reagan, and Ronnie Reagan spake from on high and said, yea, verily, facts are stupid things. Now, the actual quote is, facts are stubborn things, but in the Swiss cheese that his brain had become, it came out, facts are stupid things.
Well, what do you guys think about the Bundys? They're documenting every crime they commit.
Oh, maybe somebody else has a different opinion, Sparky, but I think they figure they're going to get off scot-free because they let Pappy Bundy go. And these guys haven't even pointed a gun at anybody. Pappy Bundy had people pointing guns at BLM agents.
That's right.
And we let him walk on that. So why, that's, you know, right. So, you know, they'll just, they're just going to go up there and they're going to do that. And you know, they hope to set up, and you know, I mean, there was a guy from a standoff in Texas. And that standoff just ended last week.
Right.
After 15 years.
Fucking years.
Okay. He violated a, or committed a crime against a law enforcement officer and then retreated to his spread somewhere in Texas and never left his property for 15 years. And the prosecutor just dropped the charges, and the sheriff said, well, he hadn't left his property in 15 years. I figure he's been in prison for 15 years. Well, then, you know, the son of a gun has never been to the stir, because being stuck in your house for 15 years on 40 or 50 or 150 acres is not the same thing as having a barred door clang shut after it's over. I mean, there's another guy, the clown that got arrested today. He's got a rap sheet, okay? This guy was arrested for illegally occupying federal lands, and he was released he was set free on the single condition imposed by the court that he not occupy any more federal lands.
You know, this whole thing, the racism aspect of it is, to me, really mind-blowing. And it brings to mind an experience I had about a week and a half ago, where I was at one of these nasty cheapo stores, the Family Dollar, it was called, it's a big chain, you guys probably have them where you are. And they're a very nastily run big corporation. That they short staff the stores horribly, so that there'll be one person working with 10 people running around, and they whip their help. It's just terrible the way they treat, and it also redounds upon the customers. The customers are poorly served and wind up waiting in long lines. The whole thing is a complete mess. Well, one day I was at the store, like about 10 days ago, and there was a little troop of like four or five managers. I had never seen so many employees at that store at all. Usually one, maybe two people. And I decided to give them what for. And I basically said, look, you guys are insulting your clientele, and you're placing your staff in danger by short-staffing this store the way that you do. And you need to either hire some people so that they can help each other and keep everybody safe, or you need to close the damn location. I looked them straight in the eye. They, I'm sure, dismissed my comment, but I let them have it. And the two black employees who happened to be working behind the counter at the time were clearly pleased that I had said what I had said. They gave me the look of, yeah. And I went in and ran into them a couple of days later, and we had a conversation about it where we felt more free to talk. And they were really pleased that I had said what I had said. Well, after having that conversation with them, I reflected on the following fact, and then I'll wrap this up, and that's this. I realized that the fact that I was able to feel free to open my fucking mouth and give those assholes from corporate what for was an exhibition of my own fucking white privilege. If I had been a black man and said those same things, the police cars would have fucking swarmed. Don't you suppose? White privilege, man. People are so fucking blind to it.
Well, I mean, Roger, I don't know that people are blind to it. I think there are a lot of people who, I think a lot of people who deny its existence know damn good and well it exists, and they're really happy about it.
Count me out.
Oh, by the way, another of the sedition posse have been taken into custody. This one was arrested in Arizona. Remember Buddha, who was the bodyguard for Ammonium Bundy? Yeah, he was pulled over in. He was pulled over in Arizona. Apparently, He's been booked into the Maricopa County Jail. He's been released on bond by a judge. There are no details on what the nature of the arrest was, but one source did say, well, it doesn't have anything to do with what he done up there in Oregon or nothing. Well, of course it doesn't. I mean, Jesus Christ, can you imagine? And you know what? If I'm Bernie, if I'm Hillary, if I'm Martin O'Malley, if I'm Barack Obama, from the political optics of it, yeah, maybe there's a reason for just letting this thing fly. Because the last thing you want to do is give because the teabaggers are pretty much kind of gone to ground lately. They'll get ginned back up, but there's no reason for doing the Koch brothers' work for them. You know what I'm saying? So as much as I would absolutely dearly love to have these guys hellfire missiled right out of existence, wow, there goes my peaceful street cred. I can see not wanting to make a thing out of it. I mean, why give the Republican? Because you know what? The Republicans are largely they're iffy about how cozy they want to get with these freaks, unless you're a total Freedom Caucus teabagger asshat. But the minute that they if there should be one of those standoffs and they get to set off explosives in the building and die in a rain of gunfire fighting it out with the federales, you can bet your ass that every last one of these Republican presidential candidates will stick the bloody shirt on a fishing pole and wave it as high in the air as he or she can. Dissent?
No, I just thought the bloody shirt. I thought maybe you were going trolling for alligators.
No, that's an image that arose out of the Civil War, when waving the bloody shirt was a political tactic. I was there at Gettysburg, and we come so close to winning.
I think they'll knock them off one by one if they can.
But think about this, though. They do this real quiet. Well, we're going to get them when they're separated. We're going to get them when they're driving on the road. We're not going to go in with a fucking TAC team and take them the fuck down for taking over a federal goddamn area, for stomping on federal fucking grounds, for threatening the entire fucking town, besides threatening local goddamn law enforcement and fucking getting away with it and making seditious goddamn statements against the federal fucking government, all right, and state government, bringing in a judge of their goddamn own to fucking put the local goddamn sheriff and officials on fucking trial.
Yeah,
and this shit has gone on into the second fucking week.
And said alleged judge never having been anywhere near so much as a Black's Law Dictionary, okay? He's a computer guy from Colorado. He's just declared that he's going to be the superior judge. I mean, it's like their computer nerd guy who posted a bunch of pro-fascist stuff. It was pro ISIS Daesh stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, now I'm being accused of being fucking pro fucking ISIS by a uniformed motherfucker who said that he hates the goddamn government. On the other hand, you got David Fry, who was out there supporting ISIS on the fucking internet, and nothing. He is sitting there working and digging through government goddamn systems. I'm out here fighting goddamn right-wing Islamic, Christian, Hindu, and Buddhist fucking fascism. That's what the fuck I do. I fight goddamn terrorism. But these motherfuckers, if you're against them, they don't know what else to do but to accuse you of the worst fucking thing that they can goddamn think of. They accuse activists of the worst, most heinous, most immoral fucking crimes. Shit that makes people cringe. And when you do the goddamn background check, every fucking neo-Nazi goddamn that has been in the fucking media over the past couple of fucking decades has been linked to abuses. Abuses of the fucking family. Crimes. You know, all kinds of shit. The motherfucker that led Skokie was a fucking pedophile. They find neo-Nazi pedophiles every goddamn day. They can go to 4chan and find those sons of bitches all the motherfucking time. But they accuse the left of shit like this. Because all they can fucking do is peddle fear. If you ask Ted Cruz, if you ask fucking Dr. Ben Carson, you ask Trump, you ask Carly Fiorina a policy goddamn question, they don't know what the fuck to do, what to say. But ask them to say something nasty about somebody, and they'll pull all kinds of crap out of their fucking rectums that are total fucking lies, that make no goddamn sense, and then they fucking go, they get worse. Then they criticize the lies that they goddamn come up with. And before you know it, you're put into a fucking corner where you can't say anything, because if you even try to defend yourself, then that's evidence that what they said about you is true. It's a fucking witch trial. The same bullshit that happened in Salem, Massachusetts. Two young girls got crazy. Motherfuckers were looking to take people's farms any goddamn way. They sent the shit around to Tuba, the black slave of the goddamn girls, and said, yeah, the devil is a black man from Boston. And somehow he was able to come around at night and bewitch the whole motherfucking town until they got the governor's wife. And then they said, oh, fuck, we made a goddamn mistake. We're sorry. The devil made us make a mistake. Mini regretti, forget it all. Let's just move the fuck on. We're dealing with people who are living in their heads, be it Christianity, be it Islam, and even Buddhism in Southeast Asia, who are living in the 12th and 13th goddamn centuries. And we need to identify them as what the fuck they are. They're freaking out because they see the fucking change that's happening, and it is happening really fucking fast, and they can't goddamn do anything about it. Now, yes, not all of it is good, but you're going to see mixed marriages. That's going to goddamn happen when people around the world make connections. They're going to share cultures. They're going to share the good and the goddamn bad. Okay, so let's look at it. Let's have a real conversation with each other and stop fucking demonizing each other. But these motherfuckers are not about that. They're scared little fucking children. That's why they need guns. That's why they need their own version of religion. That's why they need their own version of law. They need their own fucking country.
They need a tilted playing field with them on the high end, okay?
Because they're the fucking low end.
Right. Exactly. To a certain extent, I think this is all to be expected and predicted. Because these are the barbaric, these are the howls of the mastodons who have wandered into the tar pit, and they are surrounded by dark color, and they're stuck and they can't move and they know that their day is nearing its end. I'm not saying, you know, it's not like there's going to be some sort of Tonton Macoot kind of that. No, nobody's going to come after these white folks and necklace them or anything.
No, but we have to worry about them coming after us because that's
sure you do, because they've been doing it for 400 years. Angry.
Yeah, but according to Nikki Haley, there's never been anything like that here. There's never been laws against people. You know, Jim Crow never happened. The fucking Chinese Exclusion Act didn't happen.
No, Chinese were never
barred. Indians were never fucked over. No, it didn't happen.
Well, and you mentioned guns. I want to throw something out there. You're going to love this. You know, the NRA was invited to the President's Forum on Guns last week in Northern Virginia. Well, the NRA snubbed him. Snub the president. But now, Wayne LaPierre apparently managed to sponge off some of the blood that he's covered in every day, like some sort of cheap horror movie, and managed to put out a press release and a little old video on their website challenging the President of the United States to not a duel, but to a debate. He says, the president's calculation is clear. Destroy the NRA before the election so Hillary can destroy the Second Amendment after it. That's why we won't get suckered into any of Obama's fixed fights. But I'll tell you what, and this, you know, this is straight out of WWE.
I'll tell you what. I'll meet you on a one-on-one for 1 hour debate with a mutually agreed-upon moderator on any network that'll take it. No pre-screened questions and no gas-bag answers. Americans will judge for themselves who they trust and believe on this issue, you or the NRA. Let's see if you're game for a fair debate. It really, I mean, it's...
Think of the money they'd make.
Oh, they'd make a fortune. And think of the diminution... Of what dignity the presidency has left. But here's the real giggle fest, and for instance Jennifer and Graham and Robert and a few others in Australia will probably either scream and kick furniture or begin laughing deliriously. At one point in time, he gets very serious in the video, and he says, "And I'm not making this up. It's a quote." We know that the president would ban every gun and bullet in America and effectively turn us into Australia. Really?
Oh, my God.
Not that. Anything but that. Please. Oh, Jesus. Not Australia. You mean we'd have to start walking around calling each other mate?
And will they make the toilets flush the other way?
And our toilets would go in the wrong direction? And we'd all be 14 hours behind each other? Oh, no, not that. We'd have to invite our friends over to... We'd have to invite our friends over to shrimp on the babby? And we'd have a lovely opera house? And really delightful cheesy soap operas and good beer. Not Australia. What does somebody tell me? What is the Australia? What is the nightmare hellscape Australia that lives and breathes inside the mind of Wayne LaPierre?
Brother Bob, I got into it about a fortnight ago.
Mad Max.
And I'm from Australia. They insulted all of Australia. They called it a toilet.
Oh,
then
really?
They thought I was from Canada.
Because you use never mind.
You know why. It's stupid. But then they thought I was from Canada, right? Because when I spell shop, I use a P-E. So then they insulted all of goddamn Canada. Then they just insulted, if you're not American, then fuck you. And I'm like, you know, you're sick. You're sick in the goddamn mind. What is wrong with the Australia's got its goddamn issues, but you hate Australia? For what? You don't even goddamn know anything about it.
No, seriously. Because apparently there's some oppressed, seething majority in waiting that if those tyrants in, wait a minute, if those tyrants in Canberra, I think I said it right, those tyrants in Canberra would just release their death grip on freedom, everybody in Australia could have an AR-15 and freedom would reign in the land and they'd be a much more polite people than they are, because we all know those Australians are a bunch of heathens.
Man, the average Aussie is worth 10 motherfucking Americans, and you can quote me on that. You want to talk about a rough house? Okay. All right. You want to talk about tough? Okay. All right. Sorry. People don't like Australians for a fucking, you know, a lot of reasons, but one of the things is they can back up the shit that they fucking say. Now, you know, these guys that need to run around with all these goddamn weapons couldn't fuck with the average Aussie. I put my goddamn money on it.
Oh, no.
I put my money.
No.
See, they play rugby over there. They don't wear all that goddamn padding. Fuck around if you want to.
Don't wear none of them sissy helmets.
That's the way they feel about it, and I agree. Because I support New Zealand blacks.
Now, this is totally from the Department of Shallow. But isn't there data out now that says that helmets are actually one of the reasons head injuries in the NFL and college ball and high school ball and peewee and all that stuff, Pop Warner, that helmets are why the injuries are as bad as they are?
According to they don't have enough in the NFL, yeah.
And wasn't that the original argument by the by the by the uh, the cranks who resisted helmets back in the Leatherhead days?
I think you're right, Bob.
Oh, by the way, Rick, congratulations on your football team. Your nightmare came true.
Oh, my God. Well, all I can say, it was a nice sunny day, and I sat on the sunny side of the field instead of the shady side of the field.
No, so, but I mean, you're getting the Rams back.
Oh, the Rams. Oh, damn. Yeah, I'm not that happy about that. I'll tell you why. A local team means that they're always on TV when they're playing an away game.
And you're never going to see the Bears.
There you go, man. Perfect. Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Oh, and by the way, we got a response from Jennifer. She says, Oz, where we still leave our house or car doors unlocked and walk the streets at night past multicultured citizen neighbors who nod and wish you well. G'day.
There you go.
Right. But see, that is an intolerably unfree society to a twisted demon devil hell spawn like blood-soaked Wayne LaPierre. You know, because at this is the definition of freedom that these freaks adore. Freedom is what happens when people go wild with their freedom protectors and chop up 26-year-olds into their constituent pieces.
Yeah, it's the freedom to get shot.
Yeah, it's a freedom to die in random gun violence. You know, Steve in China says, and don't forget, the rednecks and crackers, according to an Australian acquaintance here, live up there, you know, in the north. He's convinced that their backwardness has something to do with the hotter weather. The shame of it.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, are you interested in a concert report?
Stand by, Rick, because I just got a response in from Robert. I knew this got Robert and Jennifer typing immediately. Subject line, many exclamation points. Not Australia! Bob, what would I do with an AK-47 at a barbecue? Can you turn sausages with it? Well, no, but you can, by God, point it at the sausages and they'll turn themselves is what they'll do. Because they respect the authority of a good guy with a gun, and then Robert continues and said, for angry with regard to racist rants on public transport, the people making them are being shouted down more.
That's true.
And more.
That's true. They weren't at first. It took time. They were not at first because people really didn't know what to do. And when folks would get off, and this is with the early video cameras. People would agree with the fucking, with the bigot. But over time, that's changed. Over time, that's changed because, one, more people started talking about it because the activism after the Quinella riots went up. You know, the Quinella riots were really goddamn bad where foreign students, well, anybody brown, basically, was being attacked in pleasure areas on bank holidays and shit. And, that went on. And, the police did kind of address it. But there were people who were actually justifying what the fuck was happening. Just like with any goddamn thing else. Yeah, Australia has its fucking, not just bigots. It has its neo-Nazis. It's got its bikies, its bike gangs. A lot of them are fascist. But, they don't have a political agenda. They do what the fuck they do and they kind of stay out of society until they want to come in and have a fisticuff. But what we're looking at in Oregon is, like I said this and Bob said this when we've had our conversations on this show, that, when they didn't step up against the fucking Bundy family in Nevada after what the fuck they did, because you and I have talked about this repeatedly, that gave the two Bundy fucking boys the idea that they can do this. So every nutcase that's got a fucking, they got a couple of dollars and got their welfare check or their disability fucking check or their SSI, whatever the fuck they get, to make it over there to Malheur, because I don't know how anybody's how they're paying for their fucking bullets, because they're not at goddamn work. They're fucking up. John Ritzheimer, Blaine Cooper, all these fucking jerk-offs.
Well, they're supported by their wives, okay? And so they're able to spend their disability checks on guns and bullets.
Which I wouldn't say anything. There's a lot of women that are heading households here, but these motherfuckers are the men, right? They talk all that stereotypical bullshit, right? So they want to play tough. And that's all the fuck they're doing. They're playing tough. But the thing is, the Bundy family really does have a goddamn agenda. Ritzheim and those motherfuckers over there for the fucking ride. Pete Santilli's over there to get more goddamn attention.
And money. Don't forget the money.
He's got a live stream coming from the refuge.
He's a fucking freak. That son of a bitch just wants to be noticed. If you watch him on video, he wants to be seen. He's like that little fucking kid in the playground that would do shit just so people would look at him. He's a fucking clown who obviously can't find any other way to get goddamn attention. And this is his latest way of doing this. This motherfucker has lied about his military service. He's lied about the companies that he fucking founded and then crashed. About loans that he's taken out and he hasn't fucking paid back. And other right-wing nut jobs like him who broadcast independently, who he's fucked over. This is a bunch of vipers up here.
Well, and let me point out one other thing with regard to Australia. Jude points out it could be the Crocodile Dundee factor. Wayne LaPierre is convinced that there's a bunch of wild-eyed Paul Hogans running around with big knives down in Australia, and it's going to. We need some AR-15s down there just to take out the trash.
Oh, you're talking about those fellows who live in the outback who actually deal with respect with the indigenous people there, who argue for their rights when they go to Sydney, when they go to Canberra, right? Is that who they're talking about? New South Wales, is that who they're talking about?
We're at this point in time, Angry, we're just trying to figure out how one neuro sparks another neuron and jumps across the spirochetes inside Wayne LaPierre's head. There's no logic to it. There's no rhyme or reason. Oh. But the funny thing is the reason, because it's all code. We've talked about code, Angry. It's all code. And Australia has now been the word Australia has now been turned into code by the NRA as being, well, you know, their gun ban never worked. I mean, people are still dying in Australia. getting rid of guns in Australia didn't eliminate death.
Well, you can't eliminate every single death. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to do something. I mean, it's not an all or nothing proposition. I mean, gun reform is going to eliminate a lot of unnecessary deaths. And if we can use our like technology, like fingerprint identification on, you know, before you can fire a bullet from a particular gun, that's going to prevent like a 2-year-old, you know, shooting mom or dad, and so he won't grow up as an orphan, you know?
This makes me crazy. I mean, this is some more of the Wayne LaPierre quote here. And effectively turn us into Australia. And we know if HC, that's code for Hillary Clinton, is elected, she'll make sure that happens. Hillary Clinton is going to make sure we turn into Australia.
Well, just like
I just got this much to say here. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to filibuster the conversation, but I really wish Wayne LaPierre would throw in we hate Bernie too, because see, one of those dumbass tropes that's being advanced out there is that somehow Hillary's going to get the gun problem under control, whereas Bernie will just go immediately to the NRA headquarters and kiss the ring of Wayne LaPierre, which is a load of crap. And frankly, anybody who thinks that Hillary Clinton is going to do something about guns, well, you know, I got a bridge in the desert to sell you. Because nobody's going to do anything about guns in this country until this country wants something done about guns and is willing to do something about the NRA. The NRA is the problem. The NRA must be destroyed. The NRA must be crushed. Okay? I try to be peaceful and everything apart from wanting the sedition crowd droned. I try to be peaceable, but sure. I would not shed even one damn tear if I got up tomorrow morning and I turned on the internet and I looked and I saw Wayne LaPierre hit by bus and then crushed by bulldozer in reverse. I wouldn't. Not a tear. Not one.
Bob, I hate to step on your fury. I just wanted to throw in a comment about one of the possible ramifications of having guns that will only operate by the person who has the RFID tag on their body, or however that technology would be implemented. What it would mean...
It's the mark of the beast.
What it would mean, among other things, would be that the police could no longer claim that somebody was going for their gun as a defense for causing them great bodily harm or killing them with the gun. I mean, it would really take away one of the easiest dodges that police have been using to murder people. And I think that's one of the chief reasons we're unlikely to see that technology implemented.
That may very well be. But you know, the larger issue of guns, you know, I understand why Bernie is with guns the way he is, because he comes from a rural Appalachian state like me. And there's a big damn difference. Now, I'm not a firearms guy, but I come from a culture that hunts. We hunt squirrels, we hunt deer, we hunt birds, and we shoot varmints. Whether they be groundhogs or, God knows, coyotes, we do that here. We do that here. And you know what? I see a lot of pictures posted by some of my friends up in the Northwoods from their deer hunting. And I'm not going to tell somebody whose people have been on this continent for 15,000 years that they can't have a rifle to hunt deer on their ancestral tribal lands. Oh, hell no.
Well, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't, because I think I have a better working understanding of the firearms problem in this country than probably a whole lot of so-called liberals or progressives.
Because you're a responsible gun owner.
Well, actually, I'm not anymore.
You were.
Yeah. But this dovetails to something Wayne LaPierre said, and that is, if Obama really wanted to make America safer, he'd pick up the phone and tell his Justice Department to flip Chicago upside down until every criminal with a gun, criminal gangbanger with a gun, and drug dealer with a gun is arrested, prosecuted, and imprisoned to the fullest extent of the law. But, of course, that ignores the question of where are these people illegally obtaining firearms. Every firearm begins its life as a legal Second Amendment right tool. You know, because the right wingers love to say, well, a gun's just a tool like a hammer or a spoon or a shovel.
Mm. Yeah, Bob, I saw a study or heard about a study that half of all the guns that were used in gun violence crimes in Chicago came from the state of Mississippi. So they're coming from other states that don't have any gun control or gun restrictions.
Sure. I mean, there's a highway that runs from here to Detroit. And the reason all those guns are in Chicago is because you can get them in goddamn gumball machines in southern Illinois and up in Wisconsin and over in Talibandiana.
Right, right. Yeah, so there's no uniform program to try to minimize the flow of guns that can be used for criminal purposes.
Right, it's a problem whose solution can only be national in nature. Okay,
right.
Wisconsin and southern Illinois and Indiana are Chicago's problem. You know, right. Ohio's problem is Mississippi.
Right.
Maybe Connecticut's, I don't know, maybe New York's problem. Well, we know New York's problem is Virginia and South Carolina.
Right.
California's problem is Nevada.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you go. Yeah. Well, do we have time for a quick concert update or not, Bob?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
On a lark, I decided to see Styx last night in concert. I had my son take an Uber to the concert hall to meet me there, and they were fabulous. Tommy Shaw, I mean, that guy is like probably weighs no more than about maybe 120 pounds when he's wet, probably 5'2". But he still has a hell of a voice. And they have a new guy on vocals to replace DeYoung. Is it Dennis DeYoung?
That's what I was wondering what the lineup was, yeah.
Yeah, the new lineup has this guy who does the keyboards, and he sings all of Dennis DeYoung's songs and has he looks a lot like the lead singer for Green Day. I forget the guy's name. It's like Billy Joe something, I think.
Yeah.
But he's fabulous. He was tremendous. And they did a couple of dedication songs to Clapton. I shouldn't say to David Bowie. He did a version of Starman, kind of a stripped down version with just the keyboards and maybe a guitar. Another guy was playing an acoustic guitar. And they also did a stripped down version again of the what is that? The Space Oddity. And yeah, they really they really are an excellent band. I mean, and I have another chance to see another guy who's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, who's in L.A., Van Morrison. He's playing at the Shrine Auditorium tonight. But because I have my monkey suit on, since I had to work today and meet with the U.S. Attorney's Office, I'm going to probably try to get into the show on Saturday. Both shows are sold out, so I have to get tickets on the secondary market. So it's one of those shows where I might just go solo to it just to keep the cost down and just to see him, because one never knows if a 71-year-old guy is going to become a 72-year-old guy, you know, Bob?
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. And Van Morrison would be an awesome show. Even if you went with your suit on, he's probably wearing a suit too. I wouldn't feel so uncomfortable.
Oh, you know, you're probably right. You know what I might do is I'll probably go on StubHub after the show here and see if I can get a good price ticket and maybe just go there. What the heck, you know? So, so that's sort of my thing. And then another thing I've done is I've decided to volunteer for, I got my Bernie stuff. I got my bumper sticker, my Feel the Burn keychain, and my coffee mug. And I'm going to volunteer on Sunday at a Bernie call center to call Iowa voters for 3 hours. I figure, well, hell, even though I haven't lived there for 30 years, I grew up there, and I kind of know how Iowegians think. And so, you know, why not? You know, I'm going to take my son with me too and see if I can get him to, you know, at least make calls or at least listen in on what's going on. So I'm looking forward to that. And then there's also some bunch of Bernie meetups around the LA area on the 23rd. And so I'm going to see if I can maybe get involved in going to that as well. He's going to basically present his plan to win the caucus in Iowa. And I guess the one last thing I was going to say is, you know, if, you know, people say that, oh, he's a socialist, America's never going to elect a socialist. So let's say if it's T. Rump versus Sanders debating and, Trump uses the S word against Bernie, or the commentators use the S word, you know, he can say, well, you know, at least I'm not a fascist. I think that would be a good one-line comeback.
Hey, I don't think it's a different world debating a Bernie or even a Hillary than just trying to bully poor little Jebbia or Rand Paul or the rest of them. Because the one thing, you know, he can, and let's remember, Trump can do to Hillary what he did to Jebbia and say, look, she's bought and paid for.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do that to Bernie.
No, he definitely
and he can't. And you know, you can't say of Bernie that he was for the Iraq War before he was against it.
Yeah,
you can't say that he was for the prison industrial complex before he was against it.
Yeah.
You can't say that he was for mandatory minimums before he was against it. Mm-hmm. You can't say that he was against Glass-Steagall before he was for it.
Right.
Okay. You can't say that he was against marriage equality before he was for it. You know, for all this business about how America won't elect a socialist, it when it comes down to a two-person first-past-the-post contest,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's what you can't. It's a matter of taking away those easy shots, and none of those easy shots that are easy against Senator Secretary Clinton are easy against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, yeah, it's about keeping your base and preventing it from being peeled away by the other, by the opponent, and trying to win that so-called independent vote.
Well, exactly, and unfortunately, we got to get out of here, but it's been a great conversation this evening. I want to thank everyone for participating. Billable Rick and Roger in Humboldt and Roger in Minnesota, thanks Betsy, thanks Devin, and thanks to the Angry Indian. Thanks, of course, always go out to longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran, Horn Malloy Skype chat group moderator Sparky. Thanks to Jim in Nevada Stan, and thank you to Todd for calling in. And I will, I really will, I'll try to make sure that we've got the stress line stuff worked out by the end of the weekend. I want to thank everybody who helped us end not in a hole and even get a little bit over the top. Thank you very kindly to Bob up in North Dakota. Thank you to Joan. Thank you to David. Thank you to another anonymous contributor. It seemed too much to hope for, too good to be true, that we wouldn't end in a hole, but we didn't. And thank you for that. Bunch of bill paying going to go on now. It's a minute past the hour. Thanks to all of you who spend your precious finite time participating in this little grassroots homegrown community. Thank you for the kind words that you send me off air. It really does make all of this a joy. And you are the ones who make up this community. Thank you again very kindly. Have a wonderful weekend. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.